Welcome back into the noon hour of Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050, streaming online on the TV's TSN for Andy Petrillo, alongside sports columnist with the Toronto Star, Mr. Dave Festchuk, and SportsCenter host Mark Rowe. Coming up in the noon hour, about 20 minutes time, we're going to have Darren Dreger join us. He's already tweeting out signs of Dreger Cafe. Like, he actually has a legitimate sign.
If you had your own cafe, you would.
But I'm hoping that I'm hoping the picture that he tweeted is just him showing off the sign, and that's not actually the table where it's going to take place, because that looks like it's in his room. Is he luring people into his room, you creepy old man?
Solid move.
What is he doing?
I've got to say, though, like, how envious are we of those dudes covering the World Championships in Paris?
I mean, I know Paris has been going through some real bad times, but I will say, as someone who has been to that city a couple times, it is phenomenal. It's beautiful.
Well, if you're on the road for, say, the Stanley Cup final for 2 weeks, and you have that feeling, it's like, yeah, I probably gained like 5 pounds just from the food that's there. How much do you gain going to France,
where everything's cream-based,
for a month at the World Championship?
But isn't that the whole French paradox, that they eat all this stuff and drink all this red wine and they're all slim?
Like, well, because they eat small portions. Right. We have portion control problems here in North America. They eat small portions and they walk everywhere.
Right.
That's the European way, too. Mm-hmm. They walk everywhere. But, yeah, that's a lot of cream-based food in France.
Man, I'll take that gig any day of the week. Like, that just, no, it just sounds like fun.
A diet of baguettes, croissants, and Pinot Grigio. That would be me.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with that. So what time would it be? What is it, like 6 o'clock, I guess?
Yeah.
Or 6:37 when we get dragged. So we might catch him just in time before he gets to go out and enjoy dinner. So I think he'll still be able to string some sentences together.
Yeah. Well, this is their last day, because tomorrow it kicks off.
That's right.
It's a lot of work, Dave.
Hey, man. Trust, I've had some good gigs, like covering the Masters and stuff is great, but World Championships of Hockey in Paris, that's one on the list, man.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. Yeah, the World Championship begin tomorrow, May 5th to the 21st, so that's the next big major event that's going on, other than the Stanley Cup playoffs that are currently going. So how about last night? Let's get to this Oilers-Ducks game. So the Ducks, they were down 2-0 in this series. 7 times before in the franchise history, they've been down 2-0, and all 7 times they've been unable to come back and win. Mm-hmm. Series by no means is over, but things looking good for them now, where they are able to come back and tie it 2-2. Last night they were down 2-0. McDavid getting on the board, Lucic very quickly. But, I mean, I'll go out and say it. The Ducks got help from the refs last night. The Ducks would not have pulled off that win if it weren't for the refs.
Speaking like a girl from Edmonton. It's Maple.
Yeah, Maple. Nat Woodbridge.
There's some frustration there. The offside thing bothers me, because then you're looking back at how many goals. Like, the skate is lifted. Like, I can deal with that. The goaltender interference right away I thought was going to be disallowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I...
Because it
I was
has been.
But then I was reminded that I really don't know the rules of hockey. I don't know them anymore.
Well, you got to look them up.
Is that what you were accused of on Twitter? Or is
Okay. I'm like, I don't know this game anymore.
Well, when it comes to goalie interference, I think we're all lost.
Then again, Corey Perry's been doing that move since he was 10, and he's been allowed to do it since he was 10. So we should know.
But this was my point of what I asked, Pierre Maguire, is now we see... It's not like they let certain things go in the regular season and then completely let it go in the playoffs and you kind of understand it. They're always calling that in the regular season when it comes to goalies. And then all of a sudden, that doesn't happen. And you're like, huh?
Is it a circumstance where if they said no goal on the ice, would it have stayed that way? Like, is this one of those things where we're sticking with what we called on the ice because there's not enough?
Because we're scared to overturn it, or consequences of overturning it?
There's too much of a gray area. Like, he hit him, but he hit him slightly out of the crease. And Talbot was able to reset, but he, I'm never going to pretend like I'm an NHL goalie and I can tell you how long it takes to reset in a net. Like, I don't get that argument that it's like, no, they got the 2 seconds to reset. It's like, how do I know it's 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
It could be 3. It could be 4. I don't know what
it
is.
Look, there's no question that's a blown call. It's a bad judgment by the replay officials, for sure. There's no question about it. But you got to give the Ducks credit here. And let's give some credit to Ryan Getzlaff.
Yes.
I mean, this guy was a monster last night to be in on every goal, 4-point night in a massive win for a team that's had probably more playoff heartbreak than anybody, including the Alex Ovechkin era Washington Capitals, although they've been able to get out of the second round, unlike the Capitals. But Getzlaf, man, he's moved into some elite territory here. You don't realize how good this guy is sometimes because he's had some bad years, but 112 points in 112 playoff games now for his career. Only two other guys who've played minimum 100 playoff games are at point-a-game pace in their careers, and that's Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So what Getzlaf did last night, what he's been able to do throughout his career, I think it probably flies under the radar somewhat because he's played in Anaheim and he hasn't been under the massive microscope that more fervent hockey markets come under. But, man, that guy's a clutch dude.
See, I know you want to be all positive and everything, and rightfully so. I mean, Getzlaf had a great game, but I still want to get back to the blown calls. I do not want to let that go that quickly because you can argue, all right, the goalie interference, get over it. It didn't go your way. As a team, you still need to be locked in. You still need to be focused. You still need to bounce back. You still need to play the game. But when the other two calls lead to a tying, no, the first goal, right?
Yes.
The tying goal was the offside. My apologies. So you've got the first goal that was goalie interference. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, whatever. Let's clamp down. Let's get over it. Then there's the egregious offside that leads to the tying goal. Well, how's that your fault? Then there's the missed icing in OT that leads to a goal. Well, how's that your fault? Like, you get pissed off.
Are we being a little relaxed on egregious there?
To me,
like his skate was up.
Out of all the offsides I've seen,
that
to me was the most obvious. Out of ones we've seen challenged.
By the letter of the law, that is offside, and they couldn't challenge it. But does it affect the play? Like, I don't know. Like, if I'm the Oilers, I'm like, they're going to score if his skate's on the ice or not.
I mean, you got Larson.
Anyways,
may have checked out because he puts his hand up.
I understand the argument, but to say, like, oh, man, like, that was Matt Duchene offside, like, against Nashville. Like, I'm a little tired of those offsides.
I think mentally it does affect you a bit, though. Like, you're like, oh, he's offside. So then you ease up because you think a whistle's going to go. And that split second.
Well, you saw that on the icing.
Yeah.
You missed icing on the.
And then that split second causes you to be out of place.
But I still think, guys, look, there's no question that that was a blown call. That was a blown offside. The goalie interference was clearly goalie interference. And I don't understand why it wasn't called goalie interference. But I also think it depends. Success in the playoffs comes down to how you react to adversity.
Agreed.
It's the old cliche. Mm-hmm. And the Oilers did not react well.
No.
I mean, they played as if shell-shocked after those bad calls. They were outchanced, I think it was something like 10-1, depending on how you were counting. There were a few people counting chances, and the Ducks absolutely decimated them after the Oilers took those bad calls. And that's the story of this game, is that the Oilers were clearly screwed in some ways, but they didn't react well to it, and the Ducks took the opportunity and ran with it.
It's one of those games where you kind of wish that you were a fly on the wall for that first intermission for the Ducks, because clearly something changed. And I liked what Getzlaf said after the game, where they asked about his leadership, and he said, hey, I can talk all I want in the room. It's up to me to do it on the ice. And he clearly did it. And to go back to maybe he's a little underrated as much as he's a Canadian who's been on Olympic teams and he's won a Stanley Cup. But, for a guy to continually elevate his game in the postseason, should be applauded. And that was a guy, listen, you win as a team, you lose as a team. There was certainly a catalyst there. There's certainly a guy that was driving the bus, and it was Ryan Getzlaf, who had maybe the best single game of these playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Jean-Gabriel Pageau may take you.
Yeah, but they played two games. That was double overtime.
No, fair enough. No, that's a good point. And the other guy, hey, if Corey Perry hadn't done much, so that little bit of goalie interference that turned
and he was
turned
the one who was
an
offside.
Goal, he was the one who
there
was offside.
There was Corey Perry contributing, my friend.
That's his. Hey, and that's the kind of guy he is, right? He's always gonna do the things that you hate to see if you're on the opposing team, but you love to see if you're on his team.
All right, so I think we can all admit that we're not goalies, so we don't know what it takes to reset, and we don't know what it was to see that on the play on the ice. But Cam Talbot was. So let's hear his thoughts on whether or not he thought that was goalie interference.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty obvious. I don't know what else to say on that one. I mean, I try to play with integrity and not flop and dive, and I don't get the call. Maybe I need to start doing that to get the call, so I don't know what else to do on that one. He clearly hits my blocker and my pad, and no way I can make that save.
See, I appreciate him saying he tried to play with integrity and not flop around. So if he did, do you think he would have gotten the call?
He did sort of flop. He moved back, and he was clearly outraged by the contact. I think he did a pretty good job of selling it as well.
Well,
but see, that's what I don't want to encourage. hence when we just criticize Nick Bonino here, you don't want to encourage guys having to make it look worse than it is just to get the call. So you hope that's not going to be the case moving forward.
Okay, but if he gets hit by Corey Perry and is off balance while that puck goes into the net, then the whole, well, he had enough time to reset, goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm not saying that that's a good argument, because I've already explained that I think that's kind of a dubious way of officiating. But
yeah, I have no clue.
But the optics of it, that's what you're going off of.
Yeah.
So if he does flop, I think there's a real good chance that it's disallowed. I'm not, and again, we shouldn't be encouraging it, but you wonder what would happen, because he moves a little bit, but then he is pretty set, and you want to think that mm-hmm. he can maybe stop that shot, but it's clearly there's contact there. And as you pointed out, that is a call we see all the time in the regular season called. And
yeah,
and back to my point from the top of the show, like the NHL rule book, who knows what's in it and who knows who's interpreting it? It's as though they don't even read it, you know, because it's very clear. You could Google the rule on goalie interference and watch that play, and I think anybody that's an expert or a non-expert would say that is goalie interference. And yet the guys in the so-called war room in mm-hmm. Toronto saw it otherwise, and it just makes you wonder yet again. It's just another on the long, long list of what is a penalty and what's not a penalty in this league.
I have no clue anymore, honestly. I'm confused. And then I can only imagine the frustration of the players, right?
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating when the stakes are this high, when plays like that turn games the way they do. It's absolutely frustrating. But on the other hand, I will say this. I understand where Oilers fans are coming from, but if you're an Oilers fan, you got to admit your team did not react well to the adversity. Your team absolutely got decimated after that stuff didn't go their way. Mm-hmm. And the Ducks deserve the win after mm-hmm. that blown call and the blown offside.
Yeah. Anaheim outshot Edmonton 21-5 in that second period.
Right.
And they were not happy with the first period, obviously being down 2-0. Getzlaf had 3 points in that period. Late goal by the Oilers, which is great. Like, they, you mm-hmm. know, they pushed. They deserved it. They deserved to go to overtime. But this, I wasn't expecting, you know, seconds into overtime for it to be done. But I wasn't surprised that it was the Ducks that said, listen, we're the better team tonight. We're taking control here. And really, they, you know, it was an Oilers mistake that led to an opportunity for the Ducks. And they were going to bury any opportunity that they had.
Do you think it's unfair pressure that we've put on the Edmonton Oilers to be the team that could, A, be in the conference final and even be a cup favorite? Because you look at the Vegas odds makers, they have them as the team coming out of the West to be the favorite to win the cup. Last I checked, it was still Pittsburgh Penguins overall to win the mm-hmm. cup, but the favorite team coming out of the West, the Edmonton Oilers. And you give them credit for what they've done this season. You give them credit for what they're doing in the playoffs. But then last night, and again, it's only one game, and I get it, and I'm not trying to be overdramatic here, but it is an example of a team that is not as experienced as some of these other teams they're facing. So where's that dig deep? Where's that understanding that we've been there before? No, you haven't, unless you're Milan Lucic, right? Like, there's a lot of guys who just haven't been in these types of situations before. So is it unfair pressure, or is this just, hey, that game, one-off, kind of let it go, and this is still the team you have faith in that's, like, a team that, like the odds makers are saying, is the favorite to come out of the West to win the cup?
Well, the funny thing about the Final Four in the West, if you look at all those teams, the Oilers are the only team without the scars, without the failures in their history, right? All these other teams have, you know, Nashville just hasn't been in the playoffs all that often, and when they haven't made impact. St. Louis has been a perennial disappointment despite having all those great regular seasons, and the Ducks are the ultimate of just about there, but not quite there, going to Game 7 in the Western mm-hmm. Final a couple years ago against the great Chicago Blackhawks team. They've been right at the doorstep, but have never been able to walk over the threshold. So maybe that's why it's an attractive bet, because we know those other teams can screw it up, but we're not sure about Edmonton yet.
Yeah,
it's an interesting case, because you have a lot of key players on this team where the Oilers are either going to win with them or lose with them, and they're all playing their first playoff series here. Even a guy like Cam Talbot that has experience with the Rangers and had to fill in multiple times for Henrik Lundqvist and wasn't your typical backup goalie, but this is his first time as a starter in the playoffs. And he's been really good at times, and he's been really good for the Oilers this year, and maybe he's their MVP, but he's dealing with different situations. And last night was, you know, he certainly faced some adversity there.
Mm-hmm. We know it's an off day for the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals. Sidney Crosby, who missed the last game with a concussion, was on the ice today. And this is Penguins head coach Mike Sullivan giving an update on the captain.
Yes, I can confirm that Sid did skate this morning and that he's in the process of rehabbing. And we'll just leave it at that. It's a day-to-day process, and we're taking each day as it comes.
So there you go. He's not in. He's not out. It's day-to-day.
Dave, speak coach for me. You're a reporter. What does that mean?
That means we're not telling you anything. We will tell
Buzz
you nothing.
Buzz off. Get lost. Okay. I am not giving you any answers.
But obviously, if he's skating, that makes you think he's got to be.
It's a great sign.
It's a huge sign because we saw with Nikita Zaitsev when he was suffering a concussion and during the playoffs, there was a day there after the concussion that he didn't even get on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're on the ice, that suggests you're testing, you know, your threshold for physical exertion, which obviously can heighten concussion symptoms if they happen to exist. So it's a good sign all around.
You wonder if things change now because the Penguins are up 3-1 rather than 2-2. Like, you hate to think that the situation of a playoff series is your deciding factor of bringing back your captain, but there's less urgency.
I just still think Crosby's...
I hate to say it, right?
But I still think Crosby, to my previous point that I made in the 11 a.m. hour, I think he's too strong of an individual to be forced to come back if he's not feeling well.
But I also, if you're Crosby and
do
it's
you
2-2,
come back?
You kind of want to get in there a little bit more because you don't want the Cap, because all of a sudden the Caps have momentum. They've won two in a row. You know how dangerous they are.
So that's where you get tricky, right?
I know. I'm not saying that's how he's thinking, and you hope that he's thinking about his health over anything, but it's a different scenario.
As Andy pointed out earlier in the show, if anybody has a record of thinking about himself, mm-hmm. not pushing himself, it's a guy who's missed 114 regular season games with concussion-like symptoms. I mean, Sidney Crosby is a great poster boy for coming back when you're ready. He's mm-hmm. missed massive swaths of games. He's missed a playoff series in 2011 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So this guy's not afraid to sit out if he doesn't feel he's ready. He's got a track record for that. And the other thing, guys, that people need to remember here is the Penguins in the postseason without Crosby now have a 5-4 win-loss record without Crosby. Mm-hmm. In the regular season, their win-loss record without Crosby, their percentage, their points percentage is .634, with Crosby at .614. Now, smaller sample size without him, but they've won like 97 regular season games without the guy over the years.
Malkin always steps up his game.
Yeah. I was going to say the exact same. Is it just me or is Malkin just a little bit better when Crosby? And I guess it makes sense because he's in situations that he doesn't get into, and maybe I don't want to say he gets more ice time because it's hard to play Malkin more than you're already
playing
him.
He's the lone alpha male now, and that's sometimes people thrive in that mm-hmm. situation, and Malkin's proven it. You know who has to play hurt no matter what? That would be Darren Dreger. He's going to be joining us next
year. And if anyone plays hurt, it's Darren Dreger.
Hey, you're listening to Leafs Ledge here on TSN 1050, streaming online on TSN 4. I love Paris. It's so beautiful there.
Clearly, we already have Dreger on the line because he just has his...
Is this him playing his radio?
Speakerphone on right now.
Can you picture Dreger?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Listening to this music?
Yep.
Really? Oh, geez.
Having a little cafe latte right now.
Oh, man.
A baguette?
Yeah. Buttered croissant.
You think his wardrobe changes when he goes to Paris?
You think the clothes get a little tighter? It's usually how it is in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The pants get a little bit more fit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Does he pull out his beret?
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely bereting it.
Oh, I'm just picturing him with a little mustache. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch. Annie Petrillo alongside Dave Festchuk, Mark Rowe. Yes, we are waiting on Darren Dreger. He's going to join us in a few moments' time. Is he there already? Oh, okay. Because he probably wants
to... I told you, he had a speakerphone on.
He wants to get this over with because I'm sure he wants to go to dinner and enjoy time in Paris.
And have a time.
And here's our TSN Hockey Insiders. Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Dregs, I have a question.
What's your question?
That sounded like when I call home and say, Dad, I have a question. He's like, how much money do you want?
Yeah.
You've tweeted out a sign of Dreger Cafe. You actually had a legit sign. And I like how it's in French, the réservé.
Yeah.
Okay, now what?
Now, you're going to ask, you actually had somebody at TSN design and create this sign? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that would be, no, I didn't. But our crack marketing people and our chief over here, Paul Graham, did. And, you know, it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, having fun as part of the extension of last year's Dreger Cafe in Russia. But it puts a little bit of pressure on me and Dean Willers, you know, the famed cameraman over here, because now we've got to find the appropriate locations. And, you know, if anyone has been to Paris before, I haven't. This is my first trip. I think I've seen about 1,000 outdoor cafes. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be too problematic, but, you know, given some of the security concerns and whatnot over here, you know, we'll see how it goes. But there'll be a ton of storylines for us to pursue, so I'm looking forward to it, and that's part of the shtick.
So all joking aside, you mentioned security concerns. Is it noticeable there?
Not really. I mean, you know, in the airport and out of the airport, you see a pretty strong military presence. It was funny because as we were driving in the cab from the airport earlier this morning, you know, we're coming into downtown and I see this massive demonstration. And so I asked the driver, I'm like, what's going on here? Is it some sort of protest? And he said, yeah, it's a protest. And I said, well, you know, what's the issue? Is it political? And he said, no, it's a big department store that's closing. And it was a very popular department store, and all the people are upset that the department store is closing, so they're protesting.
Well, fashion.
I love Europeans, man. They are so passionate. They will protest anything. I love it.
They're lined up deep. I actually took a picture, and I was about to tweet it, and then he offered the explanation, and I'm like, nah, I mean, I can't have fun with that. I mean, I could be sarcastic, but there's some serious stuff going on over here, and I don't want to make light of it.
Oh, there definitely is. So with regards to a Dreger Cafe, do you have a lineup? Is there anything you can tell us of who we can expect your sit-downs to be with?
Wow, you're asking me to divulge company secrets here. Mm-hmm. No, I think the usual suspects would be somewhat obvious. There's a number of good storylines, you know. Mitch Marner, of course, from the Toronto Maple Leafs is going to be high on our list. We want to talk about how his season went in depth and how excited he is to be representing his country here, playing for Team Canada. Matt Duchene, for me, is a captivating story from the Colorado Avalanche for obvious reasons. I mean, you know, so much speculation swirled around him leading up to March 1st, the trade deadline, and that's not going away after this World Championship. And you know, you've got that Mike Babcock, who's making an appearance over here on a scouting mission for the Maple Leafs. And John Cooper's got lots to say, I'm sure. And over in Cologne, which I'll head to at some point, again, you know, Jack Eichel, Patty Kane go down the list. So I don't think that it's going to take too much convincing to get these guys to sit down in the chair.
You know, it'll be interesting to watch Mitch Marner over this tournament, Dregs, not just because he plays in this market, because, you know, here's a guy that will only turn 20 tomorrow, and it's probably not making enough attention that the fact that Team Canada wants him for this tournament, and you wonder what kind of role he'll have on this team.
Yeah, look, you know, he's a depth player right now, but that can change as the tournament progresses, obviously, you know, based on his play. Guys are dinged up, whatever. You know, it's not like the Hockey Canada brass here, which is headed by Ron Hextall, the Philadelphia Flyers. You didn't pay attention to what Marner did for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. They know that he's highly skilled, so I suspect that, you know, he'll have a place on their power play, and he's going to find his way, you know, towards the top of their lineup before the tournament ends. But I've always appreciated how, you know, USA Hockey and certainly Hockey Canada have approached this event. And it's all part of developing a better future. So you bring in the young guys like Mitch Marner and Travis Konecny, and you give them a chance. Eric Comrie is here as a third goalie. You know, give them a taste, because we don't really know officially what's going to happen with the Olympics moving forward or future World Cups of hockey. So it's important to Hockey Canada, I know it is, to give these guys that taste as maybe an extension of what they experienced, you know, back at the World Juniors, and, you know, show them that when you get that call to come to the world, you should always consider it and accept it.
You mentioned the Olympics, and we know Boston owner Jacobs there once again kind of doubling down on his comments about why should we shut down the league? Why should we go? And I know it's not a topic we've been talking about a lot ever since the NHL came out and said, forget it, we're not going. But are you still pretty much hearing that there are a lot of owners of teams that are like, no, you know, we told you it's done and it's done? Or are you getting the sense that this can still be negotiated?
Well, the owner's position hasn't changed, Andy. You're right. And Jeremy Jacobs and others can confirm that, obviously, based on the odd public comment here or there. I don't feel like it's 100% dead, but it's clearly on life support, you know, based on the statement that was made by the National Hockey League a few weeks ago. But again, I'm over here with purpose, and I'm going to track down the IIHF and, you know, there are IOC delegates that come to this event as well. And we need to find out. I still feel like, you know, if the IOC or the IIHF was willing to do more, or the IOC was finally willing to step up, that the National Hockey League and the owners would have to listen, because these guys are sharp, shrewd businessmen. They're not millionaires anymore in the NHL. Mostly they're billionaires. Well, how did they get that way? Not by snubbing their nose at good business deals. So I get that shutting down the National Hockey League for that amount of time isn't good business on the short term. I get that there's a risk to the star players who would play for their countries. But what about the bigger picture? You know, South Korea may not seem like a strong market, but it is an Asian market, which then, of course, takes you into China. And that's an untapped resource that I can assure you NHL wants to find a way to get into.
Hey, Dregs, obviously we knew last year when the Leafs made their pilgrimage to the World Championships what they'd be watching. You know, you had Austin Matthews there. You had lots of other players who were in the draft. I mean, do you get a sense of who their eye might be on when you're talking about Babcock and the Leafs scouting staff going to Paris and Cologne?
No, it's hard, Dave, to nail that down. You're right. Last year it was pretty obvious. You know, Babcock was here absolutely salivating over Austin Matthews, and he tried to play the cloak and dagger game by, you know, acknowledging his appreciation for Patrick Laine and some of the other potential picks. We're going to have to do our due diligence here. I mean, there are players over here playing in the World Championships that might have some NHL upside. Maybe there's some draft picks. I haven't scoured the Leafs system to know that just yet, so my bad. But he's here with purpose, and he's not here just because he wants to visit France and enjoy some downtime. So he's obviously got something cooking. We'll have to find out what it is.
Dregs, are you okay? You coughing up a storm over there?
Am I?
He's got to smoke when he's there, right?
You went in Europe,
it's funny
you have to
say
smoke.
That honest to God, that's exactly what happened. So I'm standing in the lobby of the hotel, and somebody just walked by with a dart, and it wasn't dart guy. So as I inhaled, as Dave was asking the question, I'm like, uh-oh, this is no good.
Well, that's what I heard. I said, oh, my God, I think Dregger just, like, choked.
I also love that there's a French dart guy.
I know. That is the one thing that is still backwards about Europe. Yeah, I mean, they smoke everywhere.
I was going to say, there's not one French dart guy. There's about 5 million.
It's a country full of them.
Oh, geez. Well, Dregs, thanks so much for taking the time. We look forward to Dregger Cafe.
Woo! All right, thank you.
Is Darren Dregger, our TSN Hockey Insider. This Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. Okay, along the line of smoking, we were talking about MTS Center Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. They are now not going to allow re-entry during sporting events. You leave the building, you cannot come back in. And the reason they're giving, if I can find this here, so the reason they're giving, obviously, is that they want to be able to have greater control of the air temperature year-round. So it'll eliminate frequent entering and re-entering the building, which currently lets in extremely cold air in the winter months and hot, humid air in the summer months. Most obvious, too, the whole no re-entry, security, right? You have better control of what's going on in your building. What does that mean for smokers?
Well, it means, what does it mean? It means they're not going to be able to smoke. This is like a long...
Or they just can make a smoking lounge in the building.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
You know what that tells me?
Make lounges,
you're going to have more people vaping inside arenas. I can tell
you
that.
Are you allowed to vape?
No.
You can't vape.
You're not. I've seen it already, though. Like,
where
I see,
are you seeing
because
that?
It's so easy to sneak in, right? Like, it's this little, well, you know what they look like, whatever. Mm-hmm. You stick it in your pocket, and then you give a little right in front of your, you know, and then you can hide it. Like, it's so much easier to hide. I've seen so many people in public spaces where you're not supposed to, right? Public transportation. I've seen a couple people sneak it in at restaurants. I'm like, what are you doing? Sure, it doesn't stink as bad, but what the heck are you doing? You can't do that. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to have a problem on your hands, because be aware, if you're not going to allow people to go out, they're already doing it now where they are allowed to go out.
Right.
You're going to have some sneaky vaping going on.
Well, the Air Canada Centre allows it still. You can still get in and out of the building. And I think a lot of fans see this as a cash grab, because what happens is intermission at a lot of arenas. I know in Washington, the Verizon Centre, a lot of the fans leave the building at the intermission, go down to this little pub, right, which actually attached to the Verizon Centre, and drink in the pub, have a beer in the pub. It's cheaper than inside the building. And I know they were doing that at the MTS Center, where you could go to various taverns within a quick walking distance from the arena and grab your intermission drink at a tavern for half the price of what you'd pay indoors. I think some fans are saying, this isn't about air temperature in the building. This is about jing-a-ling-a-ling, cha-ching.
Well, I don't think you can really argue that. It's always about cash. Now, how much is this about the ice conditions as well, that we continually hear from every building? Like, the newer the building, the worse the ice gets. Like, Edmonton always had the best ice, and now the new building, it's not so good. And a lot of that is because, you know, you have to have an event almost every night in these buildings to make it work. So you understand that. But there are a lot of complaints about the Air Canada Centre's ice. And we saw how many fortunate bounces went the Leafs way.
JVR was very vocal. Toronto Maple Leaf himself. He was very vocal about how the ice was at ACC. But this is where I would need more stats. I would need to know, how much does opening and closing the doors affect the ice, as opposed to switching it up for basketball and switching it up for concerts, right?
You want to see a graph, don't you?
Like, I want to see a graph. I need some analytics, right? This is where I need people helping me out. Like, what percentage of opening and closing the door truly affects the air quality, which then affects the ice, and how much, what percentage of constantly changing over to a hardwood floor for basketball or whatever floor and stage for concerts, what percentage does that have? And if you were to start closing the doors, how much does it also help the ice quality?
And if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, you get a kick out of the press release saying that they're worried about the conditions in summer hockey, because they haven't played a lot of that in Winnipeg. Oh. Late spring hockey has not been a problem in Winnipeg since the Jets got back.
No, and that's a bit of an ouchie. I'm pretty sure the Jets fan base appreciates that.
There
reminder.
Was an opportunity to troll the Jets there.
Yeah, that's what he just did.
Dave jumped on it.
No, I'm not trolling them. I think the club is trolling them. The club's trolling the fans by saying, oh, in warm weather months, which we don't play in, there'll be a problem in Winnipeg. I mean, Winnipeg has the best ice in the league by a lot of accounts. The players I've spoken to generally is thought of as, if not the best, then some of the best ice in the league. And I think the outdoor temperature in Winnipeg generally sort of mirrors icy conditions. Let's put it that way.
But is it so hard to think that they'd be doing this for security purposes too? I mean, we see what's happening now. Like, the Air Canada Centre, if you want to go to a game, you better show up like well over an hour, because that's how long the lineups can be sometimes to go through, because now they have those metal detectors and you got to take everything off and they got to, you know.
What's been one of the big topics going to a Jays game? Same sort of thing, where it takes you forever to get in because of the metal detector, because we're seeing more and more incidences where, you know, a gun was taken in.
Yeah, we only have ourselves. We only have our own species to blame. We're a bunch of jackasses, and then we create these security problems for ourselves. So I don't think it's that difficult to believe that they're also doing it for security purposes.
Yeah, but then again, at the Air Canada Centre, you can come in and out during a period. You
Which
can get
I
a pass
hate.
Out. What do you mean? You
See, because I'm this when it comes to smokers, right? Because I'm a non-smoker. My girlfriends who do smoke, you can ask them how I nag them continuously, and I hate having to. I shower, I smell all nice, I get ready to go to the game, then I have to walk through this crowd, because where they allow them, at least that one on Bay Street, right? What is that, Gate 2?
Yes.
Where you're allowed to exit and smoke. Well, that also happens to be the media entrance. So now I got to walk through this waft of cancer, and I now end up stinking. I've inhaled all this. I sound like Dregger. I'm hacking up a lung. I'm like, why? Why do I have to walk through that? Go away. Honestly.
Well, you didn't grow up in the era where you could smoke in the arena. which
no,
I did.
But I did grow up where they still allowed it in restaurants, which was hilarious. Like, yes. You had the smoking section, which every time you opened the door, just wafted into the non-smoking section anyway. And I'm like, what? How? What? Well, that makes no sense.
Exactly.
So stupid.
What was the point of that?
Anyways, I'm turning this into a little PSA about non-smoking, but whatever.
We'll get back to hockey.
We'll get back to hockey.
Non-smoking, but vaping, right? That's where you're standing now?
Yeah.
But you're
I'm
all
saying,
for vaping?
No, but I'm just saying, this is, you got to be careful, because if you are not going to allow people to go out, just also be aware of what's going to now start happening in the stands. And then, you know, so somebody like me who doesn't smoke and also doesn't care for vaping, now I'm probably going to have somebody beside me doing it, and it's going to be like, yo, stop it. I'm just saying, like, either way, we just create problems for ourselves. We've got more coming up on Leafs Lunch. Cheers. You continue to listen on TSN 1050, streaming online and on TSN 4. Leafs Busters will get you out of your car lease today. It's as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit leasebusters.com. Andy Petrillo here on Leafs Lunch alongside sports columnist with the Toronto Star, Dave Festchuk, and SportsCenter host Mark Rowe. We were just discussing MTS Center in Winnipeg now not allowing re-entry. Would that bother you if you're a smoker? Can you go if you're at a hockey game? So let's say, what, 2.5 hours is the average, give or take here or there if there's overtime. So regular season game, whatever, overtime, then you go to a shootout. Can you go that long?
Well, people are pointing out it's a bit like going on a plane now. You know,
yeah.
whether you slap on a nicotine patch and grind it out. Because if you're going on a four-hour flight, you're not smoking for 4 hours. There's no way around that. You're not vaping for 4 hours, as you're suggesting. Although, can you vape on a plane and not get caught? I don't know.
No.
Is
I don't
it possible?
Think you can. Are we going to start seeing those signs, too, the no smoking and
no vaping?
You're not allowed to do that
2017.
Either. I'm just saying.
The life that we... I do find that funny, that when you're on a plane and there's the no smoking sign above your seat.
So it's like, think about the torture
but
here.
But people still need it, because people will still try and sneak in the bathroom.
Imagine if you are a woman in Edmonton who smokes and needs to go to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
You talk
now
about
you
agony.
Have nowhere to go, and you can't. So, you can't go outside and use a corner like sometimes men do, because you won't be allowed back in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I tell you. And people wonder
why. It's a horrible
why,
time to be a woman.
And the organizations wonder why people just stay home and watch on TV.
I'm okay with that.
Although there doesn't seem to be an issue in Edmonton, because not only are they packing the arena, they're packing the concourses.
I love that. The $85 concourse pass, where you have no view of the ice surface.
Hey.
But you're in the environment.
2006 was a long time ago. They're back in the playoffs.
Love it.
They have bathroom issues, and suddenly they had a few issues with Ryan Getzlaff and the Ducks last night.
I'm guessing they're not having beer sale issues.
How would you? No. Yeah, no. How would you assess Connor McDavid's play so far in these playoffs? Would you consider it a success? Would you look at it as in this is a guy who's experiencing the playoffs for the first time and is kind of showing that he's a postseason rookie? Or is he somebody where you're like, okay, they're playing him hard because, well, that's what you do to the star player on the other team, and he's starting to learn how to play around that. Like, would you deem this, wow, successful postseason for Connor McDavid? Or,
I'd give it an I mean, obviously, he's had his moments. I mean, the shakeoff of Sammy Vatanen on the weekend where he fires that top shelf over Gibson.
Vatanen is still thinking about it.
Yeah. That's an all-time highlight. That'll be on his all-time highlight reel, because that was just a wow type of
and
play.
And that was 4-on-4, though,
yeah.
Still, right? So, because I know going in, it was that empty net goal was the even strength goal that he pulled off, because he had a shorty, he had 3 power play assists, then he pulls that one off 4-on-4, and you're like, can this guy score even strength in these playoffs?
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think it's a great situation for the Edmonton Oilers big picture, because, you know, McDavid has shown that he isn't scared of the situation, he isn't scared of the spotlight, but he's been put into different situations that you can't really simulate during the regular season. Like, you can't experience this 2-week grind against a player like Ryan Kessler, who's going to be your shadow, and you're going to have to overcome that, and it's going to be annoying, and you're going to get frustrated. Like, you think of Sidney Crosby, you know, who had a lot of success early on and went to a cup final in 08, then won the cup in 09, but was still kind of maturing part of his game. And you saw that frustration come out a lot more early on in his career than you do now. And, you know, I think McDavid is you know, he's got a stoic personality as it is, but he has shown that maturity on the ice as well. And he's also been asked to do a lot of have some defensive responsibilities from his coach that maybe he didn't have to do during the regular season. And he's been called out a little bit on that. And again, you have to remember that he is in, you know, his first a season and a half of the NHL, and mm-hmm. he's still learning. But I think if you're the Oilers, you have to like what you've seen so far. Obviously, the ceiling is as high as anyone that's ever played the game, so you're always going to want more. But 7 points in 10 games, it's not like he's been a disaster on that end either.
No, it's not a disaster, but you probably expect more. I mean, he had 13 multi-point games this season in the regular season, and he hasn't had one in the playoffs. But with him, I mean, we can be sitting here talking about it today, and you know he's a breakout away. Like he's a 4-point sure. night mm-hmm. on any given night, right? So let's give him more time. I mean, it's so early in his career. He's still a young kid, and you know they're asking a lot of him. I felt they were overplaying him throughout the year and even strength minutes because nobody as a teenager had played that many even strength minutes in the history of the league. I mean, he was second in the league to Patrick Kane mm-hmm. among forwards in even strength minutes, mm-hmm. and I just thought they were asking too much of him. Maybe there's a bit of that sort of wear and tear factor on him where, you know, they've just asked so much of him that after 82 games plus these 10 playoff games, he's a little worn down. That, to me, mm-hmm. is what it looks like. I could be wrong. But then again, he gives you those moments where he's got next-level skill and next-level explosiveness. And, man, if I'm the Anaheim Ducks, I'm not sleeping on him.
I find it so interesting to analyze the young superstars in the game right now. And, you know, you look at McDavid, you look at Auston Matthews, and I think of Game 3 against the Capitals. Remember, the Leafs are down early, and Auston Matthews kind of willed his way to the net and created something and got a lucky bounce and ended up scoring, and that kind of led the comeback. You know, you see McDavid create chances all the time. He's so explosive. He's so good. You talked about, you know, being on a breakaway almost every game. And then there's the goal yesterday where it's just like the puck always finds the good players. And it's really the good players find the puck and they know where to be. And it's just, it shows that hockey IQ. And it also just shows the kind of tenacity and the willingness to go into those areas. And you know, it's so impressive to watch these guys play at this level. And you're right, Dave. You always want more from them. And any time that a McDavid or an Auston Matthews is a zero on the score sheet and you kind of don't notice them, you're going to criticize them, and that's fine. I think that's fair because they are stars. But if you're the Oilers, whatever happens in this series, you can always point to that guy and go, we got Connor McDavid. We're going to be okay moving forward.
Well, both Canadian teams had the chance to go up 3-0 in their series. Mm-hmm. We know now the Ducks and the Oilers are tied 2-2. Senators lost their last game against the New York Rangers, but the Sens still lead that series 2-1. They think Bobby Ryan should be good to go for tonight,
which wasn't an issue in the regular season, but has been an issue. You know what I mean? Like it's like, oh, you're not. You know what? Take this one off.
Seriously,
right? Yeah. He's been great in the playoffs.
Do you think that was just a blip in the radar, that game against the Rangers where they lost? Or because I mean, the Rangers, I feel like they've been
that game
good.
Two,
they've been in it.
Jean-Gabriel Pageau beat them.
Yeah, that was
just the one man show.
Yeah,
it was an amazing performance, and that's kind of the ultimate playoff type of performance where the hero isn't the guy you expect to be the hero. We've seen that play out so many different times.
But if you're the Rangers, you're thinking, this guy can't do this to us again.
No.
We played pretty well. Let's carry that into Game 3, which they did, and they dominated. And I don't know about you guys, I didn't see a whole lot of Henrik Lundqvist on my TV screen.
No.
Like, it was all in the Ottawa.
What's
in
Noodle say? I think Jamie McLennan had the best. He's like, this guy's been in a lawn chair the whole game.
Right.
The one highlight reel where he had to actually make a save. He had to get up off his lawn chair.
Which is sometimes the toughest save to make.
No kidding.
Because he's been napping the whole game.
That's a playoff-tested team, that Rangers team. So you had to expect a response after losing the first two, and they brought it.
They really did. You look at, and then that lone goal by the Ottawa Senators in that 4-1 loss was by...
Yeah.
Pageau.
Mr. Chicken Parm.
Yeah. See, you know what was really funny? So I know you wanted to ask Gary Roberts that
so
question yesterday, but then Gary Roberts just got hot under the collar.
Dave, there was no opening.
There was no way to then go funny with him. But see, that's why I actually loved hearing that from Gary Roberts. Now, this is our fault, right? Because as media, and credit to Gary Roberts, he's been so successful after his playing career and everything that he's been doing with fitness and strength and conditioning and nutrition, that when we've had him on lately, it's always been about that, right? What does this guy need to do to get better? What do you think about this guy training? What do you think about this meal? And how do you make yourself bigger, faster, stronger?
By the way, how can I lose 10 pounds?
Yeah, no kidding. How do I get on that diet, please, while still being able to eat everything in sight?
No, that doesn't sound delicious.
No.
No, I'm out.
But we forget, or I don't want to say forget, but we overlook the fact that this is a guy who still very much has an opinion mm-hmm. on the state of the game, right? So we always talked to him about fitness and nutrition, but there we went with an actual, hey, what do you think about what's going on and what do you think about these playoffs? And it was almost like he was just dying for somebody to ask him the question because he just mm-hmm. boiled over and gave his opinion. And I loved it. I said, well, you know what? We need to have Gary Roberts on more. Not just to talk nutrition and fitness. We need this guy on to actually talk about hockey. He was great.
It was great to hear that. I enjoyed that segment. And, I mean, we can't forget that Gary Roberts does have some ties to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization, so you understand why he got hot under the collar. But I think it was just a common sense reaction by a former player who wants to see star players prosper. His clients are guys like Connor McDavid and Steven Stamkos. He wants to see those guys, like basically every hockey fan I know, he wants to see those guys be able to do well out there. And the idea that you can just cross-check them in the head and have them out of the game, it just doesn't jibe. It doesn't make any sense to anyone. Mm-hmm. And the NHL's got to examine it.
Yeah. Anyways, I loved having him on. That's why there was just no opening, though. After going off, you can't be like, so, Gary.
Yeah.
How about that chicken parm that Jean-Gabriel Pageau
pretty
has?
Pretty confident in my segue skills. And I'm like, no.
Didn't exist there.
No, he wants to change. Oh, now he's kind of taking a shot at someone in the league. Okay, no. Let's just...
Forget about that one.
And I kind of... He was like going down a path, and then I had to ask him, so was that a hockey play? And then I feel like that was just the gasoline on the fire.
And then there you go. He was up and running.
Hockey play has been the most overused word in the last 3 days, I want to say.
I'm still trying to figure out what it means. What does it mean?
It's a meaningless phrase, right? It really is.
What does it mean?
Well, if coaches use it, it has to be meaningless, right? Because coaches love nondescript phrases that don't mean anything that they can say after games and repeat multiple times so that they actually don't have to say anything of otherwise notable notable substance. And that's what Barry Trotz did after that game, right? And someone gave him the phrase and he ran with it.
That was it.
He ran with it in a big way. But hey, even Ty Domi chimed in on Twitter and said, if you call that a hockey play, that's embarrassing. I mean, and Ty's an old school guy, you would call him. I think the tide's kind of shifted on that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and that's what we brought up, the Ty Domi tweet. Obviously, you had Gary Roberts. Then you have Marc-Andre Fleury. That could be just showing some solidarity with, Sidney Crosby, but just taping over Niskanen's name. But it's still like...
You're off the list.
Yeah.
See ya.
You are off the list.
No soup for you.
Okay. There's another Seinfeld reference. Yeah. I get it.
You come back 1 year.
Okay, we had a whole Seinfeld conversation yesterday.
She doesn't get these references.
You know, Seinfeld girl?
You know what? Well, here's the thing. Here's what people misunderstood. I watched Seinfeld. I watched a lot of it. I just didn't retain a lot of these one-liners that when people then go to reference it, I'd be like, well, where's that from? Well, Seinfeld. Well, okay, I saw the episode, but I don't memorize the lines.
I know. I know guys that like memorized every Simpsons catchphrase.
That's tough because they're still pumping out episodes.
There's so many. But yeah, the Seinfeld and Simpsons memorizers, I'm with you, Mandy. Yeah. Like, I can't relate. Like,
no.
If you're memorizing phrases, you're a little more hardcore than I am.
It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
Yeah. Jackie Giles, right there.
Aww.
Like, how many times have you watched these?
Oh, I don't know.
Clearly, we have 1 minute left in the show, and it's derailed. It's ending the way it started.
Oh, it's my fault that I've derailed the show.
It's ending the way it started.
Oh, heaven forbid that it's not Andy for once.
Serenity now!
Clearly, Scrizzy is a Seinfeld fan.
He's on my side, clearly.
Oh, my God. All right. Everyone, have a wonderful evening. We still have some hockey to talk about tomorrow. You can actually listen to that Senators-Rangers Game 4 right here tonight on TSN 1050 with puck drop at 7 p.m. Mr. Marky Rowe, are you working tonight? Or do you have a rare night off?
I have a night off, actually.
What?
I know.
What are you going to do? Absolutely nothing.
He's storing up sleep for the French Open.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
Getting ready for that. Mr. Dave Festchuk, sports columnist with the Toronto Star. You're up to anything or what?
Am I up to anything? No. I'm
you might go to Anaheim.
I'm just going
to
watch hockey. How about that?
Look at that. It's just going to be a hockey watching night for all of us. Yes, I love it. Well, I'm Annie Petrillo. You've been tuning in to Leafs Lunch. We'll check in with you tomorrow. Scotty Mack coming up next.